Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me in studio today are two Eds, Mr. Ed Lawrence and Mr. Ed Klank. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Very good.
Good afternoon.
Pleasure to be here.
Good to be back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you. This is Ed Lawrence's first time at Holy Spirit Radio. But before we get into that, I'm going to tell you about him, a little bit about him. Ed Lawrence, will you please pray St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work, too, may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, Ed Lawrence, for opening us up with St. Augustine's prayer. I have a few questions, but first let me give a little précis of who you are. Ed Lawrence is a religion teacher, or was a religion teacher. I understand you're retired now.
Yes, I am.
But you taught at Archbishop Ryan High School, and you are a first-time guest here, as I had mentioned earlier. Well, Ed, when did you teach at Ryan?
I started at Archbishop Ryan in 1974. Mm-hmm. And I retired in 2015.
And according to your bio that you so kindly furnished me with, wasn't Archbishop Ryan a girls' school to begin with?
Sure. Initially, it was co-educational. So okay. When I was assigned there in 1974, I was assigned to the girls' side. And then in 1988, they merged the two sides. So from 88 to 2015, I took co-ed. Mm-hmm. So I taught boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
I still stay in touch with a lot of my former students.
Excellent,
Often tell people when I got married, one of my former students was a reader of my wedding, and I was just returning the favor because when she got married, I read in her wedding.
Well, that's beautiful. That's nice. Well, being in education that long, I'm digressing a little bit, and I'm sure from the time you started till up until the time you retired or towards the end, changes had you seen in Catholic education?
Well, for the most part, the one thing I did notice is that in terms of religion, it just didn't seem to be on the radar as much in terms of where the students were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because we started to have a number of students that were coming from non-Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. So, they would come in and it was a whole learning experience. But as I often, told people that when they come into this school, one of the goals is to make sure they know they're coming into a Catholic school. But that's the only reason that school exists.
Excellent. Where did you go to school for your educational background?
Well, in terms of college, I went to what was then LaSalle College, now LaSalle University.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dating myself, but I did my undergrad there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got my master's degree in religious studies from St. Charles Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I did some additional graduate work at Penn for educational leadership. And then my sabbatical was then at Catholic University.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you for that. Out of all that education, what interested you the most? I mean, what really captivated your interest?
Well, it really was everything revolved around the faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in terms of the when I first, got into education, I first taught Latin and Greek in the public school system before I went to Ryan. But I was working on my master's degree at the seminary. And I just knew that's where the Lord was taking me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I applied for the job at the Archdiocese. And was, again, assigned to Archbishop Ryan High School for Girls. And it really was a matter over all those years. There was never a time that I did not leave that school in June thinking about what could I have done better. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that when I would be presenting material to them, I would be saying to myself as I'm saying it to them, this is really good. This really makes sense. Mm-hmm. I would always be open to what the students had to say in class. And some people would say, well, what, you don't know what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. And my point was I would always try to set up the environment where I would say to them, listen, I'll be open to what you have to say, mm-hmm. okay? But I want you to be open to what I have to say. And one reason I'll be open to what you have to say is because how do I know that God is not going to use you to tell me something I need to hear? Mm-hmm. God uses anybody.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So it affirmed them.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice. Were you married at this time? Had you been married? Because I have a follow-on question about, did you ever want to go into the priesthood?
Well, I did at one time. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I was in the seminary, and I've always told people some of the finest people I ever met in my life were guys that guys by classmates, but also some of the professors at the seminary, just really good guys. I'll just mention one person, the late great Monsignor James Flood, I had for Christology, and there was never a time that I left his classroom that I didn't have the urge to go down the chapel and pray. And I always said that would be my goal as a teacher, that I wanted to have that impact on the students, that I wasn't teaching religious trivial pursuit. Mm-hmm. I was teaching the faith.
I like that. Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you for that, Mr. Ed Lawrence. Now, fast forward back into your career, probably somewhere around 2000, I guess it was, 99, 2000, there was a special public service announcement that you became a part of. It's called Winners, and you produced it. Tell us about that.
Well, here is the story behind that PSA. I was
public service announcement, yes.
Right, exactly. I was doing some community work for some of the churches down in Kensington, and there was a racial incident that I became aware of. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking I would see Michael Jordan on TV selling sneakers. I would see, for example, at the time, a big press, big rally that they had in front of City Hall to keep Reggie White with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I kept thinking, why not use athletes that everybody admires in terms of the sport to promote the fact that it really doesn't make a difference what color your teammate is, the name of the game is come together and for that common goal. So what I did, true story, is I went to a friend of mine who coached at LaSalle, told him I had this idea for this PSA. I said, what do you think? And he goes, I think it's a good idea. I said, do you think we can get, Speedy Morris, the boys' basketball coach, connected? And he said, let's ask him. I got Speedy. He loved the idea. He connected me with Jimmy Lynam, who was the general manager of the Sixers. So we start lining up the teams. One of my former students was a producer at Channel 10. I asked her, how do I get this thing going? She gave me the name of a production
company. What was her name?
Her name was Eileen Matthews-Sitarski, class of 77. I probably shouldn't say that. She'll probably get mad about the age. But she was the one who directed me.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then I went to a friend of mine who used to be on the Philadelphia Foundation and asked him if he could get discretionary funds to put the PSA together, to pay for it. And he did. We put it together. We got students from the Police Athletic League and from the CYO to appear on it. Filmed it out back of Archbishop Ryan High School. And it was then that a good friend of mine, Monsignor Jagosinski, suggested that the Cardinal should get behind this.
Which Cardinal?
Cardinal Bevilacqua.
Okay.
And I spoke with the person in charge of communications at the time, a fellow named Jay Devine, showed him the PSA. He showed the Cardinal. He says the Cardinal loves it. And the end result was we had a press conference in the mayor's reception room to promote that. Mm-hmm. And it went out, locally. And then a couple years later, they played it again when there was a National Summit on Volunteerism in Philadelphia in, I believe, 98. Colin Powell was the chairman of it. Mm-hmm. They had all the former presidents, with the exception of Reagan, there. And all of a sudden, I hear the audio on the radio, and it was talking about that. Mm-hmm. And then that got me invited down to the White House for a national town hall meeting of religious leaders on race. Mm-hmm. And I was asked to be a pop-up speaker for that. Mm-hmm. So I get an opportunity.
What does that mean?
Pop-up speaker meant that if the president calls on you, you are to stand up and tell him, mm-hmm. you know, what you did. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much what happened with that. But it was a unique experience. Mm-hmm. And the best part, in my mind, in terms of that experience, is I gave to the president a copy of Cardinal Bevilacqua's pastoral letter on racism, because I wanted to use that opportunity to make sure that they saw the church in the forefront of racial harmony, of promoting that. Mm-hmm. So that was really, you know, the timing was perfect for that.
A huge feather in your cap, sounds like.
Well, what I want to say.
Of sorts, yeah.
It was a unique experience because I didn't know anything about how to do that. Mm-hmm. But what I always say, if you think God's calling you to do something, keep walking down that road. Mm-hmm. And if it's meant, if God wants it, the people will be in place.
I was just going to say that.
And that's what happened in that case. Those
beautiful
people were in the right place.
Excellent. Question. So where is that now? Do you have a copy of Winners on your shelf? Or was it in, it was a PSA. How long was it?
It was 30 seconds.
30 seconds, okay.
Yep. And the director did a phenomenal job on it, because I just said, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. And he would call me and say, well, for example, when he called me up and said he would like to have, you know, 5 white, 5 black, 5 Hispanic young people in it. Mm-hmm. And I got in touch with the fellow that was in charge of the Police Athletic League at the time, who I knew. Mm-hmm. I just called him and said, Joe, we're doing this. We want to get some kids. Can you arrange that? And the next day, in back of Archbishop Ryan, up comes a bus, and all these kids come out.
Yeah.
So, but nice. It was a matter of those people being in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. When God wants something to happen, he'll make it happen. He'll put everybody in place. He'll line it all up, and we just have to carry it out. Right?
Well, that's it.
But you and this and many others. So who was instrumental working with you to get you to that? Who was that person at Channel 10?
Well,
anyone else?
Sure. The first person, I'll tell you exactly who it was. First person I spoke to at LaSalle was this fella, Johnny Miller, who was coaching the girls' basketball team. He took me to see Speedy Morris. Speedy Morris connected me with Jimmy Lynam. Once Jimmy Lynam was on board, then it was a matter of Larry Schenck at the Phillies. Mm-hmm. I forget who it was, the Flyers, and then the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And it was just a matter of just walking down that road. Mm-hmm. And then the person who got the money for me was a real good friend of mine at the time, a fellow named Peter Hearn. He's the one that got the money from the Philadelphia Foundation. And then Eileen Matthews was the one who connected me to Videosmith. Videosmith did the production.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ed Lawrence. Ed Klenk, I'm going to kind of turn over to you now. Many of you are familiar with Ed. He has been on Spirit of the Delaware Valley many times over the last couple years. And he's a loyal, faithful listener as well as a loyal, faithful Catholic man, very involved. But I want to talk to you right now about this past March 2023 Man Up Philly. How did that go?
It went very well. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. And I also want to recognize Ed Lawrence is on our committee. Mm-hmm. You saw from his background how proficient he is and the number of connections and that mm-hmm. he's made in this journey that he's walked through from mm-hmm. From teaching Latin and Greek all the way to, years and years of teaching at Ryan. Mm-hmm. I've had men like him, the late great Joe Riley, mm-hmm. who...
God rest his soul.
We just had his funeral mass a few mm-hmm. weeks ago. And this man, you talk about productive life. Always trying to teach Christian principles to having people, homeless people, staying on his shelves, or inmates who were released from Holmesburg Prison come to dinner at his house. He lived the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. So I like to recognize that these are the kind of men that I've had the pleasure and the privilege mm-hmm. to work with in putting together Man Up.
Yeah, I came to know Joe, late, but I attend Mr. Barry Pine's Men's Prayer Rosary Group at St. Andrew. Wonderful. And Joe was a member of that, and that's how I came to know Joe, yeah. And then I heard that he had passed. And the time since I did meet him, I mean, he was a live wire. He was always, willing to give a testimony or a teaching, wonderful guy. I'm just sorry I didn't know him as well as you guys knew him over the years, but I was blessed to have met him.
Towards the end of his life, the last, 8 weeks or so, he was in the hospital, maybe even longer than that. We would have Zoom meetings for our committee as we approached the date.
Because he was on Man Up Philly committee.
He was on our committee. That's what I mean. These are the kind of the caliber of men that have volunteered their time and energies to make Man Up a success. Joe would call in from his hospital bed, and he would have oxygen hoses going up his nose. And this man, there was no deterring him. Mm-hmm. He wanted to see Man Up Philly succeed. And if it was the last breath he took, he would have been happy doing that. I wish I had 10 Joe Rileys. What a difference the world would be if
absolutely.
We had to get back to...
a phrase we sometimes hear, there was no quit in him.
There never.
No quit.
They said his wife was saying that even on his hospital bed, when visitors or nurses would come in to see him, he would be teaching them, have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? And he would always have biblical or scriptural references and stories that he would tell. Mm-hmm. Well, a remarkable man, truly remarkable.
Well, thank you, Ed Klink, for that tribute to Mr. Joe Riley. Talk about the speakers this year briefly at Man Up Philly.
Sure. This is the beginning of March. We had a new location, Cardinal O'Hara High School, and I'd like to give a shout out to all the administration and staff at O'Hara, who were so helpful in helping us put this on. They literally sweat it, carrying tables, setting up chairs, everything to make this thing work, and it did. It went very well. We had over 1,200 men attend. We had over 30 confessors come, and our lineup of speakers included His Eminence Cardinal Timothy Dolan from New York, and he started the day off, and he came in after some self-effacing jokes about his himself. He followed with ways in which Saint Joseph provides an example to men on how to be truly Christian men, encourage men to sacrifice to protect and not only their families, but all that is holy, to keep searching after truth. There was a wonderful speech that he gave. He was followed up by actor-producer Jim Wahlberg, who is the brother of one of the famous Wahlbergs, brother of Donnie and Mark. It was funny, when I was distributing literature out to the parishes, I said, we have Jim Wahlberg coming. They said, Mark? You mean Mark? I said, no, we can't afford Mark, but we can afford Jim.
Yeah. And Jim, that was a phenomenal story. Out of all the speakers who were great, I was struck and taken by Jim's tale. I mean, a total redemptive story, So maybe you can elaborate a little bit about... and it was Mother Teresa.
Yes.
Came to the prison he was in.
Business families aren't always what you would think they would be. Mm-hmm. Jim Wahlberg's family life was pretty hard, pretty difficult. By the time he was a young teenager, he was already had left home and was living on the streets, committing crimes, robbery, simple assault, in order to garner money to survive out on the streets. Mm-hmm. He was arrested, thrown in jail, and released back in jail again. Mm-hmm. He had this. He was stuck in this pattern of the cyclic pattern of crime, back to jail, and so on. But it was during his time. I believe it was he in Attica at the time? I think he said he was.
I think it was Attica. Yes.
He volunteered to help the chaplain's office, mainly because he thought he could get something out of it. He had no religious fervor whatsoever.
Yeah, he didn't want any religiousness out of it. He wanted out of the cell.
Yeah, whatever benefits.
He was always angling. He was always scheming.
Whatever he could accrue from, what benefits he could from helping out there. Mm-hmm. And one day he was told that a special visitor was coming to the prison. And that special visitor was Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
She came and...
Ed, can I say something? I remember him saying, Mother who? Like, who is she?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, he didn't care who it was, but he had never heard of her.
He didn't ever hear. And Mother Teresa walks into the prison, followed by this entourage of dignitaries and priests, bishops, whatever. She walks in humbly and takes a seat in the audience, not even presuming to have a chair of honor up on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And she began her talk by telling the prisoners that you are loved by Jesus. He loves each and every one of you and cares for each and one of you. And it hit a nerve in Jim, who said, I had never heard this before. And this is, I've got to know more about this God who loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of his redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So the story went on, and the men were glued to their chairs. He went on 20 extra minutes, threw my whole schedule off for the day. But not one man complained, not one man looked irritated or agitated in his seat.
Mm-hmm.
His story was so gripping that
it was
well worth the time and effort. Men who wouldn't sit for a five-minute homily at church were glued to their seats for an hour and 20 minutes
absolutely
to Jim Wolver.
Yep. Hey, thank you, Ed, for that. Who else was there?
Mark Houck, who we talked about on our program, and who also was a contributor to the station for many years.
Yeah.
Founder of the Kingsmen, who had recently been exonerated from his charges against him for assault at the pregnancy center down in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't Eustace Mita, who is... the
chairman,
he kind of carved out time, and he invited Mark up onto the stage and like seated across from him, kind of asked him, had a Q&A, let's put it that way.
Exactly.
That was a riveting. That was Mark's answers were riveting.
Sure.
I mean, it was like from the heart, from the gut. I was struck by that too.
Mark's a remarkable man, a brave man, and when listening to his testimony. He related how his arrest and trial and prison, his time where they put him in the cell, he related that all to the Stations of the Cross.
Mm-hmm.
How each part was, when he went when he was accused, it was like being before Pilate. And he walked the men through his journey as if it was the journey of Christ along the Via Crucis on his way to Calvary. A gripping story and well worth a listen. What I have to say is, once again, this was added on. It was lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
The men, you could hear the stomachs grumbling. And yet, after Jim and then Mark, they weren't anxious to leave their seats. They wanted to hear this. They needed to hear this.
Absolutely.
They'd love to hear it. And they were content to forego... eating until they heard the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So that went was extremely moving for the audience.
And all the while, or let me ask it this way, when did confessions start? There were confessions
yes.
going on in various rooms, you know,
that's
classrooms
correct, yeah.
and such. And
yeah.
I remember seeing you. I encountered you because you were flying around the school as a coordinator.
Don't ask me precise questions on the topics because I usually have been in and out of listening to the speakers.
Yeah.
My wife, Maureen, was helping me. Direct all of the priests, the 30-some priests who came,
mm-hmm.
and we assigned rooms for them and just trying to make sure that everybody had a spot.
Mm-hmm.
Confessions took place during the lunch periods,
mm-hmm.
and the lines at the confessional were moving, touching to see
mm-hmm.
hundreds and hundreds of men. Mm-hmm. Some of them may have even missed lunch because of the line may have been so long. But they were willing to do that in order to go to confession.
Yes, it was beautiful,
yeah.
very beautiful. Mark Forrest.
Mark Forrest.
He was there.
Has done.
As he has been for 6-7 years now.
Yeah, he does his Eucharistic adoration. He sings. We had a surprise event occur while Mark was delivering it.
I was going to bring this. Go ahead. You.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the power went off.
Yes.
And so we had no microphone. We had no video capability. I don't know. When maintenance called PICO, they said it was a local outage. But I don't know if it was just local to O'Hara or what. But
mm-hmm.
But it didn't matter to Mark. Mark mm-hmm. is professional. Irish tenor, and he doesn't need a microphone to fill an auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, we had a real piano, not an electronic piano used by his accompanist. So we didn't miss a step.
Mm-hmm.
Once that power went off, and the lights went off, the microphones went off, sound went off, AV went off, but the program continued.
Mm-hmm.
And what a moving story Mark tells during adoration.
Mm-hmm.
And right when he was done, the lights went back on.
Mm-hmm.
The alarm system went off because I guess it had and needed to be rebooted. But what a tale. I mean,
a man up to remember.
It was, yes. and then poor Deacon James Mahoney, was to follow all of this going on, but he did so with charm and grace
and aplomb.
And
he did.
his topic was on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, which is what our focus of that day was. The theme was the road to Emmaus, finding Christ in the breaking of the bread. So,
which wow, we just this past weekend. Yesterday's gospel, wasn't it?
Yesterday's gospel,
yeah,
precisely, yeah,
yeah, the breaking of the bread,
yeah. Have a question for you.
Okay.
You know who the
That's
name,
a switch.
You know the name of the apostle that was the disciple that was walking to Emmaus.
Mm.
They named one of the two.
I don't know.
Clopas?
Cleopas, yeah.
Cleopas, yeah. And do you know who the other one was?
Peter?
Nobody knows. We don't know.
Oh.
But speculation and
it wasn't Peter.
I had heard this once. Because who were one of the women at the foot of the cross? Mary. Wife of
Clopas.
Right.
Cleopas, yeah.
So,
good point.
In all likelihood, that's who the other disciple was.
Yeah. A
very strong possibility.
Wow.
And that's just one of those little things.
Well, thanks, Ed. That was a switch. You want to come over here? And seriously, thank you. That was...
Yeah,
that's
but
good.
No, what that was our theme, and using that theme, we wanted to tie into the 3-year Eucharistic revival. So
yeah, that's what I was going to mention.
In order to teach what we as Catholics believe in, is the real presence of Christ, body and soul, in the bread and wine at church. So. That was part of our theme and our angle, what we wanted to help the men with this particular year.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ed. Real quickly, I mean, to wrap up that manna piece, you meet shortly thereafter or within the month after each man up on a yearly basis, and then you kind of go over, like in the Army, it's like you do an after-action review and a report, debriefing, and like all that. So how did that go?
Well, we did, and Ed can chime in here, too. There was not a whole lot that we could say went wrong or that we would need vast improvement on.
Right.
We need to tweak things like making sure speakers don't go over because it throws so many other things off. We tried to contain the day within certain time limits. That was one thing. I can't really think of anything else that went wrong. The fact that we had priest confessors who we were very grateful and thankful for their presence, and the men look forward to going to confession at Man Up every year. So we were totally grateful for that.
The support,
we're thankful for the support of Father Dave Friel and Father Steve DeLacy. Father Friel is the one who coordinates soliciting priests to come out and help. And they come out, many of them come out without even being asked. They just like the experience.
Okay.
And they've been doing it for years.
Okay. Well, the two Eds, I'm going to do a station ID. You're listening to WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia and WCOJ 1420 AM in Coatesville in Chester County. So I'm going to pivot over to Ed Lawrence now. Well, we have already mentioned that you're part of the Man Up Committee. So from your foxhole and your part in that, give a brief descriptor or description of your time with them.
Sure.
And what your role is.
Well, again, being on the steering committee, how I even got connected to it was, at one time it was held at Archbishop Bryan High School, and since we mentioned his name, the late, great Joe Riley, I was teaching his grandson, and his grandson happened to mention about the Man Up Conference that's going to be in, you know, it's going to be held, and sure enough, the next thing I know, here's Joe Riley telling me about, you know, about Man Up. And that was my first introduction into that. And, you know, what has always stands out to me, and especially even like this year, because I think it was very successful. I thought the speakers were great. I think the accommodations were great. And the one thing that always sticks out to me is if we have over 1,000 guys go into confession and receiving communion every year, that's great. That is that is truly a blessing. But being greedy for God, as much as I love to see 1,000 guys, I'd like to see 10,000 guys. All right?
Yes.
But you can see, in terms of what we're doing, that hearts are being touched. The Lord is using Man Up, you know, to touch people's heart. So you know you're doing God's work.
All right. Well, thank you, Ed Lawrence. Now, before I move on to another topic, for next year, are you already thinking about who you can get?
Yes.
Jim Caviezel going to come on? How about Jonathan Rumi from The Chosen? Is he available? No. That's
if there's any
go big or go home, right, guys?
Thousands of dollars, yes.
Yeah.
As I,
well, let's pray about that.
we would love to have them as guests. We are looking right now. We submitted a name list of names that we're making initial inquiries right now, and but we probably will not know for about 2 months.
Okay.
What our lineup is. We will be back at Cardinal O'Hara, and we will be hosting it on March 2nd, I believe it is, 2024, the first Saturday. And it's during Lent, so it falls right in place with being a great spiritual part of a man's Lenten journey.
Well, I will say this. I mean, I was just kidding about those gentlemen, but if God wants that, Man Up in the committee always gets excellent speakers for the time. You know, that, from my opinion.
And sometimes the men you least expect to be the speaker end up being the best of them all. So, mm-hmm. you know, as Ed mentioned with his journey, you know, if God wants something to be done, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And many times, you know, I'm worried about how this is going to happen. We only have so many signed up. We need to fill this place. I leave it in God's hands. Mm-hmm. In fact, at one point when I was distributing flyers and posters to parishes in the city, I went to St. John Newman Shrine, and I went down and prayed before the grave of St. John Newman in the chapel underneath the church. And I said, basically, Bishop Newman, this is your city. This is your diocese. I need your help. You know, we can't do it alone. We can't mm-hmm. do it without the help from heaven. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, within the next few days...
That just gave me a chill.
Registrations really started to
Amen.
Rebound. Wow. And thank you very much, St. John Newman.
Okay. Thank you. St. John Newman, pray for us. Amen. Okay, I'm going to move on to Ed Lawrence now. A new topic. Ed Klenk has mentioned this before when we've talked about it, but the co-founder, Ed Klenk might even say the founder, of Prayers Unite the World is Mr. Ed Lawrence. And it's a fascinating story, a good story, how it all came about, ladies and gentlemen. So let me just ask Ed Lawrence, what is Prayers Unite the World?
Prayers Unite the World is a website that was designed to direct people's prayer intentions to various religious communities and Catholic organizations, specifically initially religious communities, that's initially, and then share with the petitioner links to the religious communities that have members praying for them. So people become aware of some Catholic religious communities they might not even know existed. Mm-hmm. So it helps promotes the faith in that particular regard. Mm-hmm. But the program, it actually began, I was surfing the internet one night mm-hmm. and came across the Trappist Monastery in North Africa where the seven Trappist monks were murdered in the mid-90s. Mm. And on my wall at Archbishop Ryan, I have a collage of pictures, but one of the pictures was a picture of those seven Trappist monks. So when I came across that monastery, because even my wife thinks I'm a closet Trappist, what I did was mm-hmm. I emailed them and said, I have a picture of your martyred brothers up on my wall at Archbishop Ryan High School in Philadelphia in the United States. Please pray for my students. Well, to my amazement, they replied and said that in French, which I took to the French teacher, I said, George, what are they saying? He says, they're praying for your students. So I went into the classroom and said, here's what I did. There are literally people around the world praying for you. And any teacher knows when you say something and if it registers, because you could see it in their faces. And I thought, quite frankly, that was just a one-time event. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the lesson plan.
Sure.
But about a week later, I'm going through the school cafeteria, and one of the women in the cafeteria stops me and asks for prayers for her daughter-in-law, who was having a difficult pregnancy. So this time I sent an email up to the Abbey of the Genesee in upstate New York, where I've gone for retreats, printed out the homepage, brought it into the school, and said, Alice, give this to your daughter-in-law and your son, and let them know there's people praying for them. And it was Alice's reaction. Mm-hmm. It was this wow moment. And I kept thinking, people need to have this kind of experience. But how to do it? What to do? Mm-hmm. Not a clue. Mm-hmm. And I said to some of the kids, what do you think of this idea of connecting people, you know, in terms of a website with different communities, praying for them? And he said, Mr. Lawrence, you could do anything on the computer. And one of my students at the time, a fellow named Tom Wombold, who eventually goes on to get his undergrad and grad work in computer science at Drexel. So as I tell people, I don't speak computerese, but he speaks it fluently. Mm-hmm. I started checking out different religious communities, not knowing how this was going to evolve, not knowing how it was going to be funded. Mm-hmm. Literally, as I said, you take that walk in faith, and all of a sudden, you know, we got the money for it. But even that is an interesting story about keep walking down that road. That was where I connected with somebody at the Office of Catholic Education. I said, this is what we'd like to do. And they said, that's a great idea. And there may be some money for it left over from the World Meeting of Families. Mm. And what they didn't know is my former student found somebody who could program it. And I asked him, well, how much? And he gave me a dollar figure. Mm-hmm. What the people at the diocese didn't know, when they said, we may have some money, and I said, how much? It was the exact dollar figure.
Wow.
And it was an unusual amount. Mm-hmm. So we get them going, okay? Mm-hmm. But they wanted it up by September 19th, 2016, the anniversary of the World Meeting of Families. Well, about 3 weeks before that, my former student, Tom, calls me up because we have a problem. I said, what's that? He goes, they don't think he can get it done in time. And I said, I've got Daughters of St. Paul coming down from New York. I've got Bishop Fitzgerald coming up to bless the room. Abbot Antonucci's coming up from Dalesford Abbey. I have all these people coming. We have to have something. Mm-hmm. So we had to scramble to find somebody, and it couldn't be for any more than what they were giving. Mm-hmm. Well, we did. And granted, my former student did tweak it, but the total amount was less than half of what the original amount was. It was $8,000 was the original, and we got it done for $3,200.
Wow.
So as I said to the seminarians of St. Charles when I gave a talk to him a couple years ago, I said, fellas, the Archdiocese loves it when you get things done on time and way under budget. But that was the Holy Spirit. You keep walking down that road in faith.
Well, that reminded me of the foundress of EWTN, Mother Angelica, because the way she started out, I mean, on a wing and a prayer and a shoestring, but she kept walking because she was called. She was called. That's what that story reminded me of, and she never gave up. And God, you know, put her in that position to found this enterprise, you know, and we are an apostolate of that. So thank you for letting me talk about EWTN, the Eternal Word Television and Radio Network. So, yes, keep the faith, keep walking. Even in, you're in the dark, you know, keep one foot in front of the other.
Because you never know if you feel God is calling you, mm-hmm. just keep walking, mm-hmm. okay? Even in terms of when this concept came to my mind, I remember getting together with Bishop Robert McGinnis, and I told him it looked like I was going to have to retire because there was a health issue. I said, but I have this idea about this website that would do such and such. And he said to me, Ed, the Lord could be saying to you, I don't need you in this part of the vineyard anymore. I need you over here. Mm. And my response was, well, as long as it's his vineyard, I'm good to go.
Yeah, really.
And then what happened, literally, it has exploded since the launch. We now have not just religious communities, Catholic, you know, lay organizations. We've got retreat houses, shrines, schools, parishes. Mm-hmm. We even added candidates for sainthood. And what we're doing with that is...
Wait, what do you mean? You added candidates?
Candidates for sainthood. What we do is we
expand
have...
On that.
The causes.
Yeah,
causes for sainthood.
I did see that on the web. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was doing research.
But the way I did it with that is we don't send a prayer request to that particular cause. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, one reason for that, this is the religion teacher in me coming out, because if a miracle takes place and they investigate, they want to make sure it's as clearly direct as a response to that particular petition going to that particular person. Mm-hmm. And since we send it out to a number of different communities at one time, the prayer request, I wanted to make sure that we didn't muddy the waters. Mm-hmm. So what we did is when somebody sends in a prayer request, we send it out to representatives of various groups. We send back to the petitioner an email that says, here's the communities that have members praying for you. But you also might want to check out these causes for sainthood, these various candidates. And again, people they might not even know existed. Mm-hmm. And then in the past 2 years, we added a little video clip that Archbishop Perez did for us on the Real Presence. So it really is a way of getting the word out there about, quite frankly, the mosaic that the church represents of the face of Christ. All of these organizations and religious communities are literally the face of Christ out there. Mm-hmm. And this is a way of promoting them. Mm-hmm. You never know, you know, what's going to happen, who's going to click on that particular link to that particular religious community and where that may lead. Mm-hmm. But our job is, like my first department chairman said, we're planting seeds in teaching religion in the class. We're planting seeds in terms of the website. We're getting the word out there about the good work, the face of Christ that the church is.
Very good. Wow. Well, to that end, how can our listeners submit a prayer request? I mean, let's get down to brass tacks, so to speak.
Sure.
And how do they access Prayers Unite the World?
Well, you go on the computer. You go to prayersunitetheworld.com. If you go on there, they'll ask for you to type in your prayer request. Okay? They'll make sure you're not a robot. You have to click on that, usual stuff.
Yeah.
And then just hit send. And then the computer literally picks the various religious communities. It isn't random. Mm-hmm. Again, you get a response back. Now, one of the things, again, that we added, and this was, again, within the last 2 years, is we now have it set up where if someone from, for a good example, the Knights of Columbus wants to send in prayer requests that's being generated from their council, what the website will do, it'll send out the prayer requests. But it'll send to who they want that response page to go to, that it would say, for example, a member of the Father Thomas Ryan Council of Knights of Columbus requested prayers on your behalf. Here's the communities that have people praying for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, click on the link. So now they hit that link for the Knights of Columbus. It goes right to their website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Beautiful.
So it's a good way of promoting all of the different groups. We have to make sure. As I said, when I went on EWTN, the last thing I said to them, they said, what would you like to see? And I said to them, I'd like to saturate the secular with the sacred.
Beautiful.
I want people inundated with the faith. The more they see it, that's a magnet for people to come into the church, to come back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that can be done to do that, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hope, God willing, that's what I hope we're doing with the website.
Yeah, keep walking.
Yeah.
Well, you said something, Ed, when I was on EWTN.
Yes.
Okay.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't think I was aware of that. But
well, here's,
tell us.
again, and it ties into Man Up.
Yes.
True story is I get in the car to go down to a steering committee meeting, which was held at St. Mary Magdalene Media, mm-hmm. with the late Joe Riley and our mutual friend, Judge Bob Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe says to me, Ed, tell Bob about the website. So I tell Bob about the website.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, Bob calls me up. He goes, I really love this thing. You know, this should be on EWTN. Would it be okay with you if I reached out to them? And I said, knock yourself out. Go for it. He calls me back. He says, they're interested. And the long story short was, not only were they interested, number one, when I spoke to them initially, they said, it'd be nice if you had Archbishop Chaput's, mm-hmm. a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I contacted Bishop McIntyre, and the following day I get an email from McIntyre with a detachment, and it was Archbishop Chaput's letter, which I sent down there. And then the second thing was, I thought, oh, how much is this going to cost me? How do I go to my wife with this one?
Mm-hmm.
And the end result was the amount of money the Lawrence family put out was the gas money to get me from the Northeast down to the international airport, because EWTN picked up everything. And it was a good experience. But again, if I don't get into the car, mm-hmm. to go to that Man Up meeting, I don't have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, let me have a question. So what EWTN program were you featured on?
At Home with Jim and Joy.
Okay, yes.
And, you know, good experience.
Well, when was that?
That was, I believe, in 2019.
Okay.
Again, it was a very good experience. Had dinner with Father Mitch.
Oh, yes, Father Mitch Pacwa.
Yes.
Yes. How was that experience?
That was nice. It was good.
Well, you know, he hunts. Good. I mean, had he bagged your dinner? And did he prepare it? Did he dress it?
No, but I became aware of the fact that he was a hunter. Trust me on that. I know he's a hunter.
He shared that, huh?
Couldn't miss it. But again, you know, just a good experience. And that is what I really think people that get involved with the faith, you don't lose. Mm-hmm. God is calling everyone to do something. Our faith, as you used to say to my students, our faith is something more than 1 hour a week mm-hmm. at Maston Church. It's supposed to be more than that. You know, and I would also say to them, and when you come back from communion, you're not the same person that went up. You're not. You may look the same, you may think the same, but spiritually you're not. Mm-hmm. And when you have that and the priest says, go forth, you're supposed to bring the faith with you.
Yes. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we're getting short on time, gentlemen. I want to thank Mr. Ed Lawrence and Mr. Ed Klank. And Ed Klank, do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with us?
As far as Prayers Unite the World, I think it's a wonderful thing that it shows the universality of our church. We have prayer partners over in Africa. We have them in Europe. We have them throughout the world. And we could even get more if we can grow this a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And we're trying. Ed's been working constantly on this. But to think that somebody you don't even know over in Africa, over in Uganda, an order of sisters in Paris is praying for you, specifically mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. What is it? It just shows that the church is Catholic and universal, that we are united as one group, as one people. Mm-hmm. And not only that, it also can hopefully spur religious vocations, because if you click on, like, the Blue Sisters, the Pink mm-hmm. Sisters, the mm-hmm. Trappist monks, to find out who they are, what they do, where they are, you learn something more about how God works throughout the world through these religious communities. It really shows the true nature of the Catholic mm-hmm. Church.
And I want to share on a personal note before we close, ladies and gentlemen. I was in touch with Mr. Ed Klank because I've known about Prayers Unite the World. My wife, Barbara, underwent kind of a scary time and with some medical issues. And I asked Ed. I didn't put him in personally, but Ed did for me. Ed Klank mm-hmm. did. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
My pleasure.
And everything worked out well, praise God, for Barbara. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to log on. And Ed Lawrence, how do they get in touch?
Again, it's prayersunitetheworld.com or .org, because we have both. You just go there and just fill in the directions. You type in your email address, okay, mm-hmm. so we'll know. And then type in the prayer request. Do that thing where you're not a robot, mm-hmm. hit submit, and within 24 hours you'll get a page back, a response page, that will say, here are the communities that have members praying for you. Click on the links to know more about them. Mm-hmm. Here's two causes for sainthood, mm-hmm. and here's the Archbishop's video on the Real Presence.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And just to note, we do not keep or store your email addresses. We don't use them to solicit. Once your prayer request is sent back to you, it's gone.
Oh, that's very good to know.
We don't solicit. We don't ask for donations.
Yes.
We don't. Our sole intent is to help bring prayer to whatever needs you have presented.
Well, thank you, both Eds Ed Klenk and Mr. Ed Lawrence. It's been a pleasure hearing your story and first-time guest at Holy Spirit Radio and on the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And Mr. Ed Klenk, thank you very much for being a repeat guest. You're always welcome. Both of you will always be welcome. This is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, wishing you a blessed Easter, because we're still in the Easter season, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for listening, and talk to you next time. God bless.
God bless.